We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. I got a little story for you guys. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I like to share stories. And obviously I have props, so you already see them. Okay? They're there. All right? Well, no one's fooling anybody. So, do you guys remember being kids? Anybody remember being a kid? Come on. Like, if you don't remember being a kid, we got a problem. We got another problem. I remember, you know, being a kid and growing up. And how many know, like, Saturday is cleanup day? Anybody had Saturday as cleanup day, right? I'm Spanish, so it was cleanup day, you know? And I remember my mom, she's a real, real Spanish woman. So, I mean, she waked me up at 6 in the morning acting like I was sleeping until noon, right? And I'm like, Mom, it's 6. Like, I this is bad, you know? And she waked me up. And of course, in the background, you hear just, that salsa, you know what I'm talking about? It was already blasting in the house. Somehow she had superpowers to the point where she had cleaned the entire house by 7. Breakfast was already on the table, and she was like, you got to do your chores. And how many people know we all had chores growing up, right? And if you didn't, I hope you do now. But I remember I had some chores to do. But one thing that I never had to come across was laundry. Okay, I don't know if that was like my mom's sanctuary, that laundry room, or what she did, if that was like a prayer room. I don't know, but I really didn't do laundry growing up, right? My clothes was already folded, it was taken care of, and then I got married. And and I didn't get married to a Spanish woman, right? So so that was a game changer. And I will say, you know, how many know we're work in progress, right? Like, I'm a work in progress, and I'm getting better every day. Very, 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 very small steps, but I'm getting better every day, right? And I remember when I first got married, there was just a lot of clothes for some reason next to the lawn, next to the washer and the dryer, and I was like, where did this come from? Like, I don't understand. It's not folded on my bed like that. This is what I'm used to, you know. This is what I grew. But of course, that's not how marriage works. Okay, so I'm just letting you know now, if you're thinking that's how it works, it doesn't. And so you know, we started to do our laundry, and I took a picture that I didn't want to show you guys. I wanted to, and then I was like, maybe not, because our house was kind of a mess. But come on, anybody's house is a mess. Like, let's be real for a second. Like, it just happens, you know. But we had probably the pile of laundry that my wife was folding last night was probably about her size. And she's small, but that's a lot, okay? That's a lot. But you know, it's just laundry, you know, and that's one thing that growing up I didn't really have to deal with, and now that I'm an adult, I'm like, wow, I really, really got to take care of this dirty laundry, right? It's not going to take care of itself. And of course, I'm not here to talk to you guys about just my laundry and my issues at home. I'm here to talk to you guys about the Word of God and what He wants to do in your life, you know, and what is dirty laundry, right? Dirty laundry is not, I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about our mess. I'm talking about the mess that you and I both have. That you might be trying to hide and keep like everything is all good, but you know you have mess. You have a mess that you might be dealing with today. So that's what dirty laundry here today represents, you know. And a lot of people talk about mess. They talk about sin, you know. But what is sin, right? Because I think a lot of times you hear like very, very religious people. I'm going to say the word religious, that they just come to you and they're like, that's sin. And I'm like, I was waking up at 9 instead of 8. Like, what do you mean that's sin, you know? But people just like to kind of pinpoint things that they might not necessarily agree with and call them a sin. But the fact is, the Bible talks about sin as an offense against God and His Word, right? That's very clear, God and His Word. So that's really what sin is. And the fact is, we are born sinners because of Adam and Eve and what happened in the beginning of time, right? Adam and Eve, they sinned, they fell short of the glory of God. And the Bible talks about us now being born into that life. However, we have the opportunity to be redeemed in Jesus Christ, amen? But this is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For everyone has sinned, we all, somebody say all fall short of God's glorious standard, of the glory of God. Amen. Now, let's get something else clear. Now, I know Pastor Chad talked a little bit about this, and this is going to be a quieter message. I get it. It's okay. This is going to hit some people, but I believe it's going to free some people as well. You know, and so Pastor Chad talked about this last week a little bit. Let's get something clear. We all have dirty laundry. We all have a mess, right? And I think in the Christian world especially, we've gotten so used to labeling sin and labeling people's messes as being worse than others, right? Come on, somebody. You know, we come into church and we act like there's no problems going on in our marriage, and we're pinpointing the person who's clearly having issues. right? We talk about, well, that person did this and that person did that, and well, they have an addiction and I don't have an addiction, but in reality, you're doing things behind closed doors that could be considered an addiction, right? But we love to pinpoint things that are out in the open, but really, what are you doing behind closed doors? Because who you are behind closed doors is who you really are. Whoo! So that might hurt some people today. But it's real. It's real. This is real life. And I think we in this world, we got to get better at this, guys, because we're so quick to just pinpoint and judge people because of who they are in the light, but we don't realize who we are in the darkness. And God is calling real people. God is calling real people. You know, he's not calling people nowadays. They just want to say, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. You know, I'm a pretty good person, Pastor Mark. I'm not that bad. You know, I'm not out on the streets. Like, I have a job and I do this and I do that. Right. But let me tell you this. God looks at sin all the same. So it doesn't matter if you're on the street or if you're at home. But if you're thinking about another woman instead of your wife, come on now. It's no different. It's no different. So I want to talk to you guys about this because I need you all to understand we all have a mess. We all have a mess. And now that we got this thing clear, right? Now that we have it clear that we all have a mess, why do we hide our mess? Right? Why do we hide our mess? Because I think a lot of times we grab this. This is my real laundry, and it is dirty. Okay, I'm just laying it on out. So if you smell something, it's probably my laundry. Why do we hide our mess? Because I think a lot of times we see where we are, and we see how far away we are from what we believe God has called us to be, and we begin to hide our mess. We throw our mess behind closed doors. We go to church and we show up to church knowing dang well when we were in our car in the parking lot, we were just bawling our eyes because we realized just how broken we actually are. And we come into church and we're like, love Jesus. I'm good. Nope. I'm good. I don't need prayer for absolutely anything. I'm good. And then, you know, we go back home and we lay in bed right before going to sleep and we're just thinking about just the things that we're struggling with and we're broken inside, but we try to hide our things from people because we want to seem like something else. We want to seem like we got it all put together, but let me tell you, God's calling broken people. God's not calling people that got it all put together. If you got it put together, get your wings and fly away because this is not the place for you. This is a place for broken people. I can tell you right now as a pastor standing here, I'm a broken person, but thank God I found God in one day, no different than today, and he came and saved my life, and he can do the same for you today. Come on. So we try to hide our sin. And the fact is we're not fooling anybody. Come on, when I don't do my laundry and I try to stuff it in the closet, anybody ever done that? You put your laundry in the closet, but the smell still comes out? Come on now. We're not fooling anybody. I'm definitely not fooling my community group. I'll tell you that. When they come in on Thursdays, they know. They know if my laundry's not done. But we try to hide it, you know, we try to hide it, and eventually it just piles up. And in the same way, I believe there are areas in our lives that we're not allowing God into. There's areas in our lives we're not allowing God to touch. There's rooms in our life that we're not allowing God to go into because of the fear of what might come out. But the fact is, why I just don't understand this, and I think it's our human mind and our flesh that does this, but why is it that we hide the very thing that God wants to heal from the healer? And it's one word. It's shame. It's shame. We all struggle with shame. We feel like, well, what are people going to say? Well, what about my position in the church? What's going to happen then if this comes out? What's going to happen when my wife or my husband finds out? What's going to happen when my friend finds out? What's going to happen when this person finds out? Or what's going to happen to me? Am I going to lose my job? Like, what is going to happen if I'm just real? If I stop trying to put this face on, what is going to happen then? You know, people can see right through it. So essentially, you're not fooling anybody, but shame has the ability to break the potential inside of you. Come on, let's write that down. Shame has the ability to break the potential inside of you because at the end of the day, shame leaves you questioning your purpose. Shame leaves you questioning who God has called you to be. There's no way God would call this person. God, do you know what I did yesterday? God, do you know what I did last night? God, do you know what I was doing last week? God, how can you think of me so highly? How can I believe that you came and died for me after what I've been doing? God, how can you, I can't believe that, God. You know, and that's really what the devil wants you to believe, that you're not good enough. We talk about this all the time. We're not qualified, but God still chose us. We're not qualified based on who we are, or what we're doing. We're qualified based on who Jesus is. And the fact that he came and died for us, that is why we are qualified for God's love. It's not through my means. I'm sorry. It's not because of what I do. It's not because of how often I show up to church. It's not because of any of that. It's because of who Jesus is. And that alone. But the fact is we have this shame over us. So I'm here to encourage you today. Shame is not from God. In John chapter 3, verse 17, it says this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To save the world through him. And let me tell you, if you're a believer sitting here today, I need you to hear this. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. Our faith in Jesus transcends God's righteousness to us, and he considers us flawless in his eyes. Let me tell you, God is not putting that shame on you. He sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ. So if you're sitting here today, that's a lie from the devil that he wants you to believe, that you are your mistake, but you're not your mistake. You made a mistake. Let's set the difference here. You are not your mistake. You are not an addict. Wow, come on, man. You made a mistake, and you have a past, but God sees your future. God sees the potential inside of it. God is seeing through your addiction into your future. God is seeing through that problem that you've been going through. God is seeing through that sin that you keep falling back into. God sees through that bitterness. God sees through that lack of forgiveness. God sees through that depression, that anxiety. God sees through it into your future. God is looking through your problem. But you need to look at it the same way as well. Right? And that's what we were talking about earlier, or the song that we were singing earlier talks about who the Son sets free, he is free indeed. It's a lot easier to sing it than to believe it. Because I think a lot of times when you feel like that broken person, when you start to believe the lies of the devil, it's really hard to think, well, God still chose me. But it's the truth. Jesus still came and did what he did. You can't take that back. You can't reverse that. Jesus did what he did. It's done. But yet we want to believe the lies from the enemy. And maybe you are stuck in this vicious cycle of sinning, these chains of sin where you just keep going back and forth and you feel bad and you feel the shame. So you ask for forgiveness and God is so merciful. Come on, can we talk about God's grace for a second? God is so merciful that he forgives us. But then we begin to abuse that grace and we go back to the sin and we go into sin knowing we're going to ask for forgiveness afterwards. Come on, I know somebody's been there before. I know I've been there before where I know what I'm about to do, and yet I just think in my head, well, I'll ask for forgiveness afterwards. Come on, that's abuse of grace. We take God for granted when it comes to that, right? But I believe God wants to set some people free this morning from this cycle of sin, just break some chains this morning from problems that you might have been going through for years. Let me tell you, God has not given up on you, so please don't give up on yourself. God has not forgotten about your prayers. God has not forgotten about those tears. God believes in you, but you got to believe in yourself as well. Amen. So if you're stuck in a cycle, I got good news for you. We're going to break that cycle today. Amen. So if you're taking notes this morning, write this down. The first thing you got to do when it comes to dirty laundry is you got to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge it, right? See, I'm going to tell you right now, this is not like, I didn't wear this and just ended up like this, okay? Like, I put stuff on it, okay? You're like, wow, you're really dirty. No, it's not this bad. See, I can look at this shirt and think, it's pretty clean. But the fact is, it's not. That's the reality of it. That's the fact. It's not clean. The fact is that we all have a mess. We all have dirty laundry. That is the fact. But we try to ignore it. And let me tell you something. And you can write this down. Ignorance is not bliss. It's just ignorance. That's for somebody today who thinks ignorance is bliss. Well, if I don't think about it, if I don't look at it, if I don't talk about it, then it's not real. No, it's still very real. You're just being ignorant. This is the first time you just got called ignorant in church. But it's true. Ignorance is not bliss. It's just ignorance. And we need to recognize that we are broken people, because there's a lot of people nowadays that have that social media image. You use all those filters and you only post times when you're smiling. You only post times when you look good. You only post times when things are good in your marriage. Come on, somebody. Come on, Marriage Mondays is a real thing. I love to see these posts when people will just post, you know, smiling and they're happy and everything is good. But I want to know what it's like when things are not good. I want to know what it's like when you're not happy. I want to know what it, because the reality of it is that's who defines who you are. That's when you are defined. That's what makes you or breaks you, right? But we like to put this image in, of everything is good. I don't have a problem. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. You see me smiling. You see me doing this. But behind closed doors, you can't stand yourself. Behind closed doors, you can't even look at yourself in the mirror. But we got to be real with ourselves and stop denying what's actually happening. We all have a mess. We all have a mess. So a lot of us, this is another thing, right? A lot of us, we are living a double life. You know, we come to church on Sunday, act like everything is fine, act like everything is good. When the opportunity comes for the altar to be open and for you to get prayer, you're like, I don't need prayer for anything. But you are stuck in this cycle of sin behind closed doors. Let me tell you, God can't heal the person you pretend to be. God can only heal who you really are. Yeah. That's really good. So stop pretending to be something that you're not. If you truly want to be free from this, we can't pretend to be something that we are not. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Write this down. The power of forgiveness is in the confession. The power of forgiveness is in the confession. When we admit that we are sinners, we realize our need for God. Because let me tell you, when you don't even know that what you're doing, I remember the first time that I came to church and really came to Metro Church. I mean, I grew up in the church and I knew kind of what sin was and I had a very vague understanding. But I remember when I came in here and I had a real revelation of who God was and what I was and what I was doing. And it wasn't like I just read through the Bible and I was like, well, that's a sin, that's a sin, that's a sin, that's a sin, that's a sin. No, I just knew it in my spirit. When I accepted Jesus into my life, I knew it in my spirit that what I was doing wasn't right. And I'll never forget, there was this one time, I think I've told the story before, that I was driving in, back to college after a night being at Ignited Youth. And I remember just driving off to college. And this song, I can only imagine, everybody know that song? Yes. If you don't, listen to it. It's a great song. But I remember just driving, and I've heard that song a million times, but for some reason it sounded different this time. And I just remember bawling my eyes. And I'm talking about like when you like pull up to somebody, you're like, are you okay? Like that kind of crying, because I began to realize just how broken I really was and how powerful my God was and how graceful he was that he came and did what he did and yet still wanted me, still wanted such a broken vessel. And I believe till this day that God uses broken people. I believe it with all my heart, because I was never ready for the season that God was calling me into, but he knew what he was calling me into before I did. And I believe there's some people here today who maybe you're in that place right now where you feel like you're starting to realize, well I get that that's sin and I get that that's sin, but you need to see this, not just your sin, but look at the Savior. Because that's where shame's going to lead you. Just focus on the problem, not the solution. Amen. So number one is you need to acknowledge it. You need to acknowledge it. And number two, we need to submerge it. We need to submerge it. Amen. Because I think a lot of us, you know, we come to church. Maybe you've been trying to change, and I get that. But you've been coming to church. You've been trying to change, quote unquote. But all that you've been doing is you've been just dipping. Well, I show up to church on Sundays and, well, I just kind of show up. You know, I'm not really there. I'm kind of on my phone the whole time. And I act like I'm paying attention and I say amen when no one else says amen because I'm not really paying attention. And I clap when no one's clapping, when the pastor claps, right? But I'm just dipping. And I come to community group, but I don't really want to share anything. And when they ask if anybody has any prayer requests, I don't really ask for prayer because I don't think these people can actually pray for me, right? But I'm just dipping. And when they ask me to get involved, I don't really want to get involved. Because I don't feel like my time is really needed here, or I don't really want to invest into the church, even though God has called me to invest and be a building block for what he wants to do and for his kingdom. But I just feel like I don't really want to be a part of it, right? So we just come to church and we dip and we dip and we wonder why we're not changing. We wonder why it's not getting there. But let me tell you, the mess that you want to fix, it's up here, not down there. The mess is a little bit deeper. Wow, you want to fix surface level problems, but you don't have a surface level problem. It's a little bit deeper, but yet we just want to dip. And we wonder why things aren't changing. We wonder why we're not getting better. And not just that, we don't just wonder. We begin to blame God for not changing us. We can say, well, if God is real, then why am I not changing? Well, are you Investing? Or do you just want to take and take and take? Right? I don't think we're putting it in. So the fact is we need to surrender it all to God if we really want to see change. And so this is what surrender means. Surrender means letting God do what only he can do, not through our strength, but through his strength. That's what surrender is. Letting God do what only he can do. Stop trying to change yourself. We are no match for sin alone. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to say that again. You are no match for sin alone. I don't care how many like motivational videos you have watched on YouTube. I don't care how many resolutions you've made in the past. I don't care how many schedules you can create, how many calendars, how many books you've read in the past. You are no match for sin alone. Because the fact is, this is what trying to go against sin by yourself is. What? I don't understand, but I'm trying my best. I'm not putting myself in that situation anymore. I'm not texting that person anymore. But why do I still have these thoughts? And why do I still feel this thing? And why am I still struggling with this? I'm trying to change myself. I made all these resolutions in New Year's and I dropped them 2 weeks later, but I'm trying to change myself and I just don't understand why it's not changing. Because you are no match for that problem. You're no match against sin by yourself. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Stop trying to change yourself. You're just rubbing stains together. You're not doing anything. You're trying to clean mess with mess. That's what you're doing. You know, I love this story in the Bible that gives us a very good picture of this. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, is the story of Mary and Martha. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. You have all these plans. You have all these things you're trying to fix. You have all these this structure and foundation you've built. You have all these schedules, all these motivational videos that you've watched. And yet, there's only a few things that really matter. And then he says, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You see, Mary chose to focus on the right thing. Well, Martha was just trying to fix everything. God, I don't understand why this is not getting better. And Jesus says, you don't get it. You need to stop striving to get better and start looking to get closer. Start looking to get closer. Listen, because a life, when you want to break the chains of sin, you don't break the chains of sin. You allow God to do that. You look to get closer to God. You look to seek God. The Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you. Why? Because if you seek his will first, your desires will begin to change. Wow, people say, well, I just don't understand why God doesn't give me the desires of my heart because your desires are not aligned with his. And until your desires align, you're not getting the thing you're praying for because the thing you're praying for is the thing that's going to pull you away from him. Somebody had to write that down. That's not going to happen again. I don't know what. God wants to set some people free, but the fact is we need to actually, instead of just dipping and trying to rub things together, we need to submerge. We need to just submerge. What does it mean to submerge? And you think, you know, a lot of people talk about, well, if I submerge, that just means like showing up on Sundays. If I submerge, is that just like just showing up and just kind of being there? No. Submerging is being hungry. Being hungry. I don't know about you, but when I cried that night, that was a time in my life where I wasn't just hurting. I was broken. I remember crying because I realized just how bad I was, but yet realizing how good he was. See, because what the devil wants you to believe is that you're bad, that you're a sinner. Yeah, you are a sinner. You're right. But he doesn't want you to believe in how big our God is. That's when the realization moment comes. You know, and I remember just, I was so hungry. I remember just reading God's word and thinking, my gosh, this is so challenging. It's really hurting me a lot in a good way. You know, it's changing me from the inside out. You know, I'm starting to drop a lot of friendships and a lot of relationships that I know were not good for me. And that causes a lot of friction. I remember I was going back to school, and every time I go back to school, I go back to that same life that I was living before I met Jesus. I would go back to that same place. I would go back to those same thoughts. I'd go back to that same thing because I didn't really know my value. I didn't really know who I was. But once I submerged myself to Christ, I was like, these things don't even matter anymore. And my desires began to change. The things that I wanted in life began to change. The dreams that I had began to change. Come on. I wasn't picturing getting married at 22, but I got married at 22. Was it 22 or 23? 22, amen, it was 22. But I remember we had that discussion. You know, we had talked about it, you know, for a long time. And I was like, well, yeah, we're going to get married someday. And I was thinking, I'm going to be married in my 30s. But because of the way that I was living, this is going to hit some people. Because of the way that I was living, I was comfortable with my situation. Because I had everything a marriage had without the name. Without the title. And this is for somebody here today. If you're over here wondering why that person, that boyfriend or girlfriend is not willing to marry you or put a ring on it, or if you're a man here sitting, you're like, I don't know if she'll marry me. The reason is because you've given everything to them already. Right. You're not holding anything back. And I remember when I started to make the right decisions, I realized, well, God, I don't want to marry this woman. I want it all. But that was a change that had to happen because I submerged myself. I was hungry for God. I was hungry to know more of him. I didn't care anymore about what people thought. I didn't care about what my roommates thought. I didn't care about what my friends thought. I was like, I'm just hungry at this point. I mean, like, I'm here. I've tried everything else. I've tried to fix it through other things. I've tried to fix it and cope through other things, but nothing is really changing it. I've come to the end of it. I was just hungry for God. Maybe you're sitting here today, and maybe that's you. Or maybe you've lost your hunger. Maybe you've just grown accustomed to your lifestyle now. Yeah, just show up and serve, and I'm a face in the church, but I'm not really the church. I show up to church, but I'm not the church like God has called us to be. Maybe that's where you're at right now. We need to remember we got to submerge into Jesus. And lastly, we have to wear it. We have to wear it. You know, what's amazing about laundry in general... You know, there's nothing really amazing about laundry, okay? At least doing laundry. But what's pretty crazy about it is that it doesn't matter how much, you know, you clean it, it's never going to be the same. You're still going to have those stains, and maybe rubbed out a little bit, but you're still going to have it to a certain extent, you know? And I think a lot of us here today, we have a lot of scars from our past. We have a lot of things that are still there. Let me tell you, you've been trying to hide those scars, but is it possible that those scars are the very thing that God wants to use to help somebody else? You see, because a lot of us, we're like, well, no, I don't want anybody to know my past. No, oh, so that person's going through addiction. I've never gone through addiction, but you know, you did. Oh, that person's going through problems in their marriage. I've never had that. I've never fight ever, ever. Your wife walks in, wiping tears off her eyes. Ah, everything's good. Everything's good. You know that face, like you can't blink, because if you blink, a tear's going to fall down? Yeah, we all know that face. You know, but I think a lot of us, we're trying to hide our scars. But we don't realize just the power that is actually hidden inside of the scars. We're trying to hide our past, but we don't realize that those are actually a sign of victory. In fact, you can write this down. Your scars are proof of your victory. That you're still here and you're still fighting. I love the story in the Bible. It talks about in John chapter 5, there's a man and there's this pool, the pool of Bethesda, right? And there's this man that has been sick for 38 years. Anybody been sick for 38 years here? Okay. Well, this man was sick for 38 years. That's a long time. And the Bible talks about how in this pool, an angel would come down and stir up the pool, and the first person to get in there would be cleansed from everything, from all their sin, from their sickness, from any disease that they had. They were lame, paralyzed people. The first person to get in there would be saved. They would be cleansed. They'd be clean again. They'll be fine. They'll be healed. And this man had been sick for 38 years sitting by there, and Jesus came to this man and asked him, do you want to be healed? What a question. Do you want to? No, I mean, I've just been sick for 38 years. I don't want to be healed, to be honest. Yeah, I want to be healed. And it says that Jesus healed him. And this is what it says in John chapter 5, verse 8. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. What I love is that Jesus said, pick up the very thing that you were dependent on, the very thing that was hurting you, the very thing that you struggled with, the very thing that shows who you were before you met me. The very thing that you struggled with for all those years, pick up that thing and take it with you. Because let me tell you, someone one day is going to walk into your life struggling with the very same thing, and you're going to be proof that there is hope. You're going to be proof that there is a God. You're going to be proof that there is a better way. I talk to so many people nowadays, you know. I was actually recently talking to someone who they've been struggling with addiction for a long time, and they said, you know I can beat this. Because there's certain things that people just don't get better from, and you don't really hear stories of people getting better from those things, but I know that I can beat this because I know a guy that beat it. I know a guy that has been free for over 30 years. I know somebody. Could you be that somebody for someone else? Stop hiding your scars. Stop hiding who you were. Stop hiding what you're going through. Because if you really want to be healed from something, you have to be real. You have to be real. You know, I love the gospel. Anybody love the gospel? Because the gospel, what it shows us, it's really a love story, right? I think a lot of people read it, and they're trying to dig deeper and deeper. But I think if you just open up the Bible and look at the fact that in John 3:16 it says, "For God sent his one and only Son to die so that anybody who believed in him would not perish but have eternal life." I mean, that sounds like a pretty love story, doesn't it? And what I really like about the gospel is that Jesus didn't deny our brokenness. God didn't deny our brokenness. He didn't try to ignore our brokenness. And, you know, before Jesus came, there was a law in place, and everybody had to follow the law. And, of course, no one could. Can't even follow driving directions. Like, no one could follow the law. So God said, "I really want to have a relationship with these people. So I'm going to send my son, my one and only son, to die, to live a sinless life and die for them so that his blood could cover their mess. And so that when it was all done and over, he could take their mess and cover it with his blood. And in his blood, we would find freedom." And I don't know if you're sitting here today and maybe you're wondering why you came. You're wondering why you're here. You're wondering who is Jesus. Simply put, Jesus is someone who came and took the weight of the world, took our sin, our brokenness, to the cross. And the blood that shed from him was shed for you and I. You and me. I'm talking to everybody here, you and me. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you've seen. I don't care what you've done. Jesus died for you as well. And that blood has covered your past.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.